Raf Epstein on ABC Radio Melbourne.
This week's changing track is for Sunil. When I was about 8 or 9 years old, I'd just started living with my grandparents in the countryside. There was no one for me to play with. My grandmother sent me to my aunt's, and that was when I first met Lionel. Although Sri Lanka got independence a few years earlier, the strict class structure and exploitation of the underprivileged continued. My aunt was a teacher and had very progressive views. She encouraged all the kids around her place to come and play together. Lionel was there with his two older brothers. What struck me was how different Lionel was from his two brothers. Like me, his brothers were of the typical brown complexion. Lionel was fair and had very sharp features, and one couldn't say that he and his brothers were from the same family. He was intelligent and had no pretenses. I felt as if he was my brother, and he felt the same way. But one thing bugged me. Why is he so different to his brothers? My aunt once said not to worry. I will get to know one day. Eventually, I did. Lionel's family worked and lived in an estate owned by a powerful landlord. When the landlord visited one day, he saw Lionel's mother. She was very beautiful, and the estate owner sent her husband away on some errand. Dependent for their livelihood on the estate, and with the inherent fear of those with money and power, Lionel's mother was easy prey, and the result of that encounter was Lionel. Lionel and I became very close. We never had secrets. I noted his resentment and anger towards society in general and to the rich and powerful in particular. In the 60s, with social uprisings against the establishment in the West and revolutions in Latin America, some progressive Sri Lankans, who were overseas at that time, returned home and started a secretive movement known as the JVP, a.k.a. Che Gang, following Che Guevara, who had recently been assassinated. In early 68, starting university, I went to see Lionel to say goodbye. He couldn't continue his education, his family couldn't afford it, and he'd started work in a rubber factory. I hadn't seen Lionel for over a year, and I sensed something had changed. Very focused and confident, he told me about joining the Che group. Busy with my professional education, I hardly noticed the passage of the following couple of years, but I could go back home only a few times for very short visits. During one visit, I went to my aunt's place, expecting to catch up with Lionel, but even she hadn't seen him for some time, and it appeared that he'd left the village. April 1971, Sri Lanka experienced its first ever armed uprising. After years of preparation, the Che Gang finally tried to overthrow the elected government. They didn't receive popular support, and the masses didn't join their cadre in the fight, as they expected. After a few weeks of unrest, the government took full control and arrested all the surviving members. Lionel was an area leader by then, and he was among those sentenced to prison. I was sorry for him. I could understand why he joined the movement. He genuinely believed they could change society and its existing structures to eliminate situations similar to his. I saw him in prison. He was candid about their actions and practical enough to realise that such uprisings would not succeed. But he always held that the existing setup had to change. He said he was training to be an electrician and wanted to lead a normal life after prison. After a change of government in 77, all the Che gang members were released. In early 1980, I left Sri Lanka but continued to catch up with Lionel whenever I went back. One time I gifted him a cassette player and a tape that had a song which I thought had some connection to him. I translated the song into Sinhalese so he could understand it. He told me how much he liked the song, and it reminded him of his time with the movement. I met Lionel next in early 86, worried about his safety, as the former rebels had started to regroup, becoming more violent. Last time they targeted the government and hardly anyone else. Now they wanted to convert the populace. Anyone not willing or seen as against them became the target. Lionel told me he'd been resisting the demand to rejoin. He was married, had a son, and didn't want to take the risk. He was well aware of what could happen. That was the last time I saw Lionel. A few months later, I got the news from my aunt that Lionel had been kidnapped, and later his body was found. It appeared his former comrades didn't approve of his decision not to join them. The song I translated for Lionel, and the one that reminds me of him, is Fernando by ABBA.